Well, I've been in town now for around 6 weeks or so, and I feel like I'm settling in rather well in the youth and young adult ministry, and so I'm thoroughly enjoying getting to know the young people and the young adults as well here at NBC. We're blessed to have some of the most wonderful and creative and, yes, energetic young people, so it's been a blessing, it really has. Most Wednesdays, honestly, as I'm back here in the kids zone and I'm a little early preparing for Wednesday night youth ministry, I'm walking through and getting things out or turning lights on or whatever, and I just sometimes say out loud, man, I can't believe I get to do this for a living. So I'm very excited to be here and that God brought us here to work with youth. What I'm finding thus far in working with youth is something that I think I've discovered in years past as well. One of the biggest things that I think young people struggle with is this thing of identity. They're kind of in a stage of life where they're kind of trying to figure out, who am I? Why am I on this planet? You know, and they're going through these changes and trying to discover that. And I think that's probably one of the most important things that any person can discover, let alone youth, right? Who am I as a Christian even? And why am I on this planet? Our identity as Christians is so important. We actually took the first 4 weeks on Wednesday night to talk about that very subject. We studied identity, who we are and why we're here. I really think that's one of the most important things that we can discover, because if we don't know who we are, if we don't know why we're on this planet, if we don't know that we were created by a wonderful, loving God in the image of God, we will not have a sense of value, and then that will wreak havoc in our lives all throughout our lives. Have you ever thought about that? If we don't understand who we are and how God created us and why He created us, how that will have effect in our lives all throughout our lives. So young people especially need to know that they belong to a loving God who says that they have intrinsic value because He created them with value. He knows their name. And He loves them unconditionally. That's where the gospel comes in, isn't it? God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son to pay a price for our sins that provides a relationship that we could never have in and of ourselves, right? A living, intimate relationship with our Creator. That's why God sent Jesus Christ. You know, oftentimes when we talk about our faith, we're trying to communicate the gospel, we tell people, you know, it's a relationship, not a religion. Have you heard that? It's a relationship, not a religion. We're trying to communicate the truth that it's not a system of religious works that you go through that, so that you can know God. It's a free gift that God gives so that you can know Him and have a relationship with Him. And we stress that a lot when we're describing our relationship with God. But as one Christian speaking to another Christian this morning, could I be as so bold to ask, how is your intimacy with God today? How is that relationship that you have with God? Many of you are familiar with George Barna. He's a author of more than 36 books about faith and culture and lifestyles. He's a prominent researcher on all things really theological or evangelical. So many of you have heard of George Barna and his research, the Barna Group. Let me share just a few statistics and things that they discovered here recently. He says this, a new study from the Barna Group indicates that people's most important personal relationship is not with God. Family surpassed their Heavenly Father as the key personal connection. Most Americans, they go on to say, even a large majority of born-again Christians struggle to think of God as a living partner in their life. There is an intellectual and even theological assent to the notion that God is real, He is alive, He influences their life, and that they owe their eternal security to Him. But check this out. But when you get people at ease, rather than in a religious setting or in a theological context, and explore the relationships that define and direct their life, the born-again public does not seem to share much intimacy with God. You know, that's not an indictment. I think that's just more of an observation. If you and I were sitting down and having a cup of coffee, which I'm discovering there are many coffee shops around here. Let's say we're having a cup of On the Grind. Any On the Grind fans? Woo! All right. If we were just sitting and having a cup of coffee, just me and you, and we're able to be ourselves and be honest and be comfortable, and that topic of how's your intimacy with God, how would you respond? How is that relationship? You know, our Heavenly Father wants us to be close to Him, right? You know, He even told us in James 4 and verse 8, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. That verse talks about intimacy, about closeness, about relationship. In Colossians chapter 1, which is where I want to go this morning, just a couple verses. Colossians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul lays out this incredible truth of who we are as children of God and the great lengths that God, our Creator, has gone through to have the intimacy with us that He desires to have, for us to draw near to Him. And I think once we know who we are as children of God and what our Heavenly Father's done to bring us near, I think it's going to burst forth in praise unto God like it did in the Apostle Paul's heart. When he wrote in Colossians 1 and verse 3, he says, we give thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Doesn't that speak to relationship, Christians? He is our Heavenly Father. We are His children. There's relationship there. Jesus even said in Matthew 6 and verse 9, when He taught His disciples to pray, He said, you come to your Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. One of the greatest blessings of being a Christian is knowing that I have a Heavenly Father who loves me, who will always love me, as we just sang, never forsake me. And you know what? He's even reserved a special place for me in heaven. I know who I am today because of my Heavenly Father. I know who I am and why I'm on this planet today. Because of my Heavenly Father. I know what my future holds because of my Heavenly Father. And knowing my Heavenly Father has transformed my life. Is it transforming your life? Do you know your Heavenly Father in that way? Do you know what He's done for you and how He values you as one of His treasured children? Do you realize that there are only 83 shopping days left until Christmas? Don't leave now. But you may want to go to the store soon. 83 shopping days until Christmas. You know, why is Christmas so popular? There are probably a lot of different reasons why Christmas is popular, but one of the big reasons, especially if you're a young person, you know, is the presents, right? We love getting presents. We love giving presents. What is it about giving and getting presents that is so fun and exciting? I think maybe one reason would be it's an expression of someone's love for you. You know, here, honey, I bought you this waffle iron. You know, what else speaks to your deep love for your wife than a waffle iron or whatever it may be? You know, I get my wife tools. But it's giving gifts that expresses love. It says, I love you. Here's a gift to express that. And we love to feel love, don't we? We love to be appreciated and thought of. Quite frankly, any excuse to get a gift is good with me, but we love to do that. But hear me out on this morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. There is no love like the love our Father has for us. Amen? There is no love like the love our Father has for us. Because His love is an everlasting love. His love doesn't come and go like humans' love, right? Our love is fickle. Our love a lot of times is conditional. Our love is temporal. You know, presents come and go. Toys wear out and break. But the love that our Father has poured out on us in Christ as His children will never die. It will never fade. It will be for all eternity. I think we have to understand that today as Christians. I think we have to. Our spiritual vitality and productivity as the people of God depend on that truth, that we understand how deep the Father's love is for us. And in Colossians chapter 1, 13, Paul tells us that. Look with me there, verse 13. He says, "For He, God, rescued us from the domain of darkness, and He transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." The very first thing that God shows us that He did for us to demonstrate His love to us is that He rescued us in verse 13. "For He rescued us from the domain of darkness." That word rescue means to draw to oneself or to deliver. It refers to our spiritual deliverance by God from Satan's kingdom, which is the realm or the domain of darkness, to the realm of God's beloved Son, which is the realm of light. If you look back at verse 12, that's why Paul called the believers the saints in light. We are the saints in light because we are now in the kingdom of light, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And that word rescue literally means that you're rescued from danger. We could not deliver ourselves from the guilt and the penalty of our sin, but Jesus could, and He did deliver us. We were in danger from spending eternity apart from God in the realm of darkness. God's judgment was upon us. Satan's rule was over us. Sin's power controlled us. That was out of our condition before Jesus showed up. But we were delivered from the control of Satan and the power of darkness. We were slaves in Satan's kingdom of darkness. But we were rescued, delivered through the rescuing work of Jesus Christ. Amen? Isn't that great? Do we understand what it means to be rescued from danger, rescued from impending doom? There really is no true comparison to the spiritual rescue that God did for us in saving us from our sin, but maybe a physical analogy might be something to the effect of someone that's rescued from an earthquake. We've seen the devastation of earthquakes. Back in 2010, Haiti was hit with a devastating earthquake. And in the aftermath of Haiti's devastating earthquake, the scenes of destruction and death were often interrupted by someone being pulled alive from the rubble, even after all hope had seemed to be gone. I found this picture of this little boy who was saved from impending death, certain death, pulled from the rubble. And you see the relief and the tears of joy that flowed because of the deep gratitude for those that rescued him. People often risking their own lives so that someone else might have an opportunity to live. How would you feel if that happened to you? How would that feel? You know, when Paul wrote to the Colossians, he wrote to people who had come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, who had experienced this spiritual rescue from a far greater than any earthly rescue we could ever see, right? Ours was a spiritual rescue. Our spiritual condition before Christ showed up and rescued us. We were in total spiritual darkness, trapped under the weight and wreckage of our own sin, without a way of escape. We had no answer. We had no hope. We only had despair. That was our condition. But Jesus reached out His hand, pulled us from the danger to safety, from one power of darkness and one destiny to another, from death to life. We were rescued. Isn't that worth pondering for just a minute? Our spiritual rescue. Kind of makes the words of amazing grace a little more meaningful, doesn't it? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved, rescued a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. That's the way Jesus described the mission that He gave the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 26. He told Paul, you're going to go to people and you're going to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. That's the mission, Paul. You're rescuing people from darkness to light.
Jesus also said in John chapter 12, I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. Are you grateful for God shining His light on you this morning and rescuing you from the domain of darkness? That's not all that our Father has done for us. In verse 13, He goes on to say that He transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. That word was used to describe a deportation of a population from one country to another. History actually records the fact that Antiochus the Great transported at least 2,000 Jews from Babylonia to Colossae, where this letter was written to. That's the word transferred. You notice that it has a past tense there. It's a completed transaction. God's not in the process of transferring us from one kingdom to another. He's already transferred us. When we trust in Jesus Christ, His Son, we were instantaneously transferred into the kingdom of His beloved Son. We are right now, as children of God, presently and actively part of the kingdom of God's beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? Isn't that great to know that? We are kingdom people now. Now, He's not referring to the millennial kingdom, that future kingdom that will still come and where Christ will rule and reign on earth and we with Him. That's still yet future, but He is speaking of a present spiritual kingdom of Christ. In a basic sense, a kingdom is a group of people who are ruled by a king. That's what we are as the children of God. We are His people who are under the lordship or the kingship of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, that truth should profoundly change our lives. Jesus Christ is our Lord and He is our Savior. Ken Boa wrote a book on leadership that I went through with some guys here recently, and this quote was there. He says, "We who have received God's grace and been transported out of darkness into His kingdom of marvelous light will be shaped and molded by our new experience. Such an overwhelming experience is bound to have an impact on our lives." That is only logical. It is only logical that people who have been given such an amazing gift of grace, being transferred into God's eternal kingdom of light, would be changed by that experience, right? That's only logical. Born-again Christians who are children of God, they're ambassadors of the kingdom of light, don't continue to live in the realm of darkness. Because we're children of light. That's one way that we know we've been changed. We stop living in the darkness. Because what fellowship does light have with darkness? Does that sound familiar? And Paul makes sure that we understand what it means to be kingdom people and what it took to make us who we are. In verse 14, he says, He redeemed us. Look there at verse 14. It says, "In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." In Christ, we have redemption. He redeemed us. It's in the beloved Son of God, Jesus Christ, that we have redemption. And it's only in Christ that we were redeemed and are in the kingdom of Christ. That's how we get there, folks. That's how we get into the kingdom of Christ. That's how God transfers us into His kingdom. We go through Jesus Christ. It's a spiritual kingdom. And the placing of people into that kingdom is a spiritual transaction. God redeems us from the realm of total darkness. He places us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, which is the kingdom of light. That word redeem simply means a releasing effected by payment of ransom. Love that definition from Strong's. A releasing effected by payment of ransom. We have to understand what God did to make us His own. It's not like we were just kind of bebopping around in the darkness, you know, just kind of having fun and enjoying life in the darkness and living it up and partying and having a great time. Nowhere to go. Then God just happened to stop by and swing the door open and say, "Hey, you want to go to the kingdom of light, to Wonderland with me?" And we just like hopped in and said, "Yeah, we're going."
What it means is to be redeemed is that we were all enslaved to sin. And we were all, catch this, bound for hell. Enslaved to sin and bound to hell. Listen, there are no free people in Satan's kingdom. All of us at one time were completely and utterly separated from God because of our sin. And there are only two kingdoms, folks. The kingdom of darkness that's ruled by Satan and the kingdom of light ruled by Christ. There are no neutral kingdoms. Everyone at some point is imprisoned in Satan's kingdom of darkness. We got there because of our sin against God. No matter how small or insignificant we may think our sin is, we were eternally separated from God because of that. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. And so for us to be transferred to the kingdom of light, we not only needed to be rescued, we needed to be ransomed. We didn't walk into the kingdom of Christ. We didn't work our way into the kingdom of Christ. We didn't hitch a ride with mom and dad and their religion in the kingdom of Christ, right? There was a cost involved in rescuing us from the domain of darkness and transferring us into the kingdom of His beloved Son. It was priceless. What a price that was paid that no one else in this entire universe could pay but Christ Himself. It was the priceless and precious blood of Jesus Christ, the one and only begotten Son of God. There's a story that is told of Abraham Lincoln. He went down to the slave block and noticed a young black girl up for auction. Moved with compassion, he bid and won her. Upon purchasing her, Lincoln told the disbelieving young girl that she was free. In her surprise, she said, "What does that mean?" "It means you are free," he replied. "Does that mean," she said, "I can say whatever I want to say?" "Yes, my dear, you can say whatever you want to say." "Does that mean I can be whatever I want to be?" "Yes, you can be whatever you want to be." "Does that mean I can go wherever I want to go?" "Yes, you can go wherever you want to go." And the girl, with tears streaming down her face, said, "Then I will go with you." You know, truthfully, that account may be more legendary than legitimate, but it does communicate an important spiritual truth. Like that young slave girl, we too have been redeemed and set free. Amen? Redeemed and released from our bondage. And the Bible reminds us in 1 Peter 18 and 19 that when we are in Christ, we've been ransomed from the futile ways inherited from our forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with precious blood of Christ. That was the price involved. Before Jesus, do you remember that time in your life? Before Christ, we were sold into slavery. Our hearts, our souls, our bodies were captive to sin. We had no choice but to sin. We lived in the foolishness of our minds and the bliss of our ignorance. We loved ourselves rather than God. We were on the broad road that leads to destruction. It was in that situation that the Lord Jesus Christ came. He came to us while we were enemies, while we were in the grip of sin of this world. And He came and He set us free, free from slavery to sin, free from the chains of the evil one, free from the grip of the world and the bondage of our fleshly lusts and desires. And the Bible says God ransomed us. He paid the price and now we're free. When Jesus was dying on the cross, He uttered three words that I think it's important for every Christian to know. These were His last three words. In John 19, it says this, "Therefore, when He had received the sour wine, He said, 'It is finished.' And He bowed His head and gave up His spirit." Those three words, "it is finished," is actually just one word in Greek. It's the word tetelestai. And that word means paid in full. You want to say that with me? Tetelestai? Say it with me. Tetelestai, paid in full. They found Tetelestai written on papyrus business documents and receipts in the New Testament times to show that a bill had been paid in full. That's what Jesus did for our redemption. Paid it in full. He took our enormous debt of sin and He nailed it to a cross, His cross, and freed us from the eternal consequences of that sin. And those who understand that, as Christians, when we get a hold of that, we absolutely should respond like that slave girl, right? I will go with you then. Because I'm free. Because you've ransomed me. Because apart from you, I don't have freedom. Apart from Christ, I don't have liberty. I'm not free. I wouldn't be free until Jesus, you showed up in my life and truly delivered me. And the final benefit that God tells us that we have as we belong to Him through faith in Christ, our Father, what He's done for us is He's forgave us. The last part of verse 14 says that. We have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Some translations, maybe yours this morning, says through His blood. Others don't contain that. That's primarily because that phrase wasn't in the early manuscripts. But that truth still remains. It was by His blood that we were ransomed. The ransom price was paid for us. That word translated forgiveness means to release from bondage or imprisonment. Forgiveness or pardon of sins, letting them go as if they had never been committed. Remission of the penalty. Because redemption and forgiveness go together, don't they? A literal translation of that verse in the Greek would be this: in whom we are having our liberation procured by the payment of ransom, the putting away of our sins. I like that. We've been forgiven. He not only paid the price, but He released us from them forever. Isn't that a great, profound truth? My sin as the psalmist says in Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, so far He has removed our transgression from us. Because we have a loving Heavenly Father, we are rescued. Because of our Father, we are transferred. Because of our Father, we are redeemed. And because of our Father, we are forgiven. Do you know what it means to be a child of the living God this morning? Do you know your identity as a Christian, one who is in Christ, a beloved child of God? Because of our Father's love, we have passed from death to life, from wrath to peace, from darkness to light, from foreigner to citizen, from without hope to being filled with hope, from pauper to prince, from condemnation to justification, from carnal to spiritual, from having a mind of flesh to a mind of the Spirit, from consumed with lust to filled with love, from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh, from an orphan to a child of God, from a son of the devil to a son of God, from being separated from God to being filled with Him, from hell to heaven, from selfish to selfless, from being immersed in the world and being baptized in the Spirit, from being born once and dying twice to being born again and dying once, from being blind to seeing clearly, from hate to love, from powerless to powerful, from curse to blessing, from killing others to dying to self, from serving lusts and passions to serving others, from seeking our own glory to seeking the glory of God, from corruptible to incorruptible, from mortal to immortality, from sinner to saint, from a representative of the devil to an ambassador of Jesus Christ, from insatiable thirst to being completely satisfied, from empty to overflowing, from pride to humility, from a foundation of sand to standing on the rock, from being a fool to being wise,
from working like a dog to being his workmanship, from being way off to being right on, from being faithless to being full of faith, from a prisoner to a free man. Christian, we have been predestined, called, justified, redeemed, baptized, sanctified, sealed, loved, and glorified. Therefore, we will live like fools in the eyes of the world, for the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but it is life for those who are born again. So we let go to gain. We die to live. We receive to give and we give to receive. We humble ourselves in order to be lifted up. We know that nothing can separate us from the love of God, so we live as conquerors and not like those who have been conquered. We have received His good pleasure. We have been sealed with His Holy Spirit. We have been given all spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms. We have been given all we need for life and godliness through His precious promises. We have an eternal inheritance where moth and rust do not corrupt, nor can thieves break in and steal. We are held in His hands where no one can snatch us away. The same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us who are His children. We are children of the kingdom of His beloved Son. Amen. That's who we are as the children of God. Do you have an intimacy with your Heavenly Father this morning? Because He has done everything He possibly can do to draw you near. Are you drawing near to Him this morning? Father, thank You for our time this morning in Your Word. Thank You for all the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. So many days go by that we just simply overlook and don't think deeply about all that You've done for us. We need this reminder, God, on a daily basis. You've ransomed us. You've purchased us with the blood of Your Son. You've transferred us permanently now into the eternal kingdom of Your beloved Son. You've rescued us. Thank You for rescuing me, God. Deep in sin, bound to sin. But then You called, sent Jesus. Your light shone. And we believed and became born again children. I pray for everyone here this morning, every children of yours, that they would just grasp that truth this morning. If there's some here that don't have that relationship, maybe they are still trying to earn some kind of favor with You by being good or trying to be faithful or live a good life. I pray this morning they understand that You've paid it all. You've done everything that needs to be done. You just call us to believe. And I pray that even in this moment, they may have recognized that and today said, yes, I believe in Jesus and what He's done for me. For those of us that belong to You, God, help us to get a hold of how much You love us. All the great lengths that You've gone through, all that You've given us, and help us to live as conquerors today, as children of light, ambassadors of heaven, that we can bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ in this world. We pray these things in Jesus' matchless name. Amen.